journeyed as far as Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm having the time of my life in Nehemiah, and I'm learning a whole lot. I don't know if that's true of you or not, but I knew it was an exciting book anyway. It wasn't like really surprising to me in the sense that I've never read it, I never taught from it before, I don't believe. So, but it's just, it's an old book, and more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper, especially if tomorrow's newspaper is the BDN. Just saying, okay? It's where we're living. It's what we need to know to successfully negotiate. Like for instance, chapter 6. Now, I'd like to finish chapter 6 and maybe even get into chapter 7 a little bit. I don't know. So let's just jump right in and see what happens. Anyway, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah, now we haven't heard from them for a few verses, and they've been a few good verses. These are the adversaries of the work of God. They're the adversaries of Nehemiah. We've talked about this at great length. We're going to talk about it again. When you plan to work for God, just count it. Just add it up. Figure it out. Acknowledge it. There's going to be adversaries. We have spiritual adversaries that will oppose the work of God. So I don't know much about that. I don't know what you're talking about because you're not working the work of God. I mean, I just want to be a godly husband, even on that level. Okay, the most basic relationship I have other than Jesus Christ is with my wife. That one flesh thing that we got going on. That God is blessed. It's not good for the man to be alone. I just want to be a godly husband. Okay, I'm not pastoring a church. I'm not even thinking about dad yet. I just want to be a good. Even on that level, there's Satan. No, we don't want you to be a godly husband. We don't want you to treat her like we want you to mess this up and go stop moving it sideways. We want to destroy this. We want to break and mayhem and kill, steal and destroy. Right? That's the agenda. And even on just that level, I'm not trying to win the world or nothing. I'm just trying to treat my wife like a human being in this satanic opposition. You know what I mean? No matter what you want to do for God, I think this is the Word of God. I think it's how we set our compass. We do the things that the Word prescribes. We're the people that the Word, discusses. That and the Bible's such a clear blueprint. And right at the beginning, look at this one commandment out there, right? Don't eat. See that tree? Don't eat it. Now, Satan comes along. Did God really say? That's how it is right from the beginning. So we just write it down. If you want to obey the Lord, if you want to live a life that's worth living, if you want to work for the Lord, serve the Lord, spend time with the Lord, pray to the Lord, no matter what level you want to enter into this thing, there's opposition. Okay. We don't run, we don't flee, and I think a lot of people, Satan gets so much more press than he deserves. A lot of people, a lot of Christians are like really paralyzed in fear by Satan to the point where I don't dare stick my head out of a foxhole because he's gonna blow it off and he's gonna like hand me my heart on a platter and I don't. He's Satan, right? He's a created being. I mean, he's kind of a little scarier. On a scale of 1 to 10, he's stronger than us, okay? No matter how strong you are, he's an angelic, a cherub. Kind of, you know what I mean? But where are we told to fear him or not be paralyzed with fear? Because this why I'm setting the table here is because we're going to talk about fear, okay? And there's no prescription for fear. No prescription. I'm saying this wrong. There's no command to fear except fear the Lord. And if you do that right, there's no fear of anything else. And the remedy for fear is faith. Listen, and it's not that we don't fear. It's that we don't obey our fears and we don't use them for a motive for anything. Now, I know this is true of men. This is a CD that we've been discussing this week, this Wes Bentley teaching. You're going to brush the fear aside and do what has to be done. That's all. And if you die, you die. Well, here's the thing. I think that's for the man in battle on the front line. By the way, we saw a lone survivor last night. Too much swearing for me to put my imprimatur on. The violence was very violent, more than I want to endorse. And having said that, You know, no nudity or no anything like that, but the language was, let's say, salty, okay? The violence was very violent, extreme violence, okay? It's war, okay? They weren't tickle fight, you know, they weren't like, had squirt guns or something, you know, so. And you know how Hollywood does it up now when you, you know, get shot, you get very shot, you know, bits of blood and human matter are flying around, stuff like that. Having said that, you know, just people's bravery and watching it on screen is like, is kind of a really compelling, but that, my thinking is like, even heathens have bravery. So us who have faith in God, well, let's just read. We have Sanballat and Tobiah, and they show up. And Geshem, the Arabian. So you got Mo, Larry, and Curly there. And the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall. And he's not taking credit. You can remember, this is probably his personal journal. You know what I mean? He's like, we're all done, is what he's saying. He's not taking any undue credit. He's just like, just saying the work's complete. Nehemiah doesn't have an eye problem. I only mention that because, you know, a guy has a ministry and it's on TV or something like that, and he's naming everything after himself, and it's, you know, Joe Jones Incorporated Headquarters International, you know, Joe Jones Bible College and Joe Jones Ministry, and I don't want to say any real names, you know, let's say, but I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, like, that's, I just find that a little unsavory. I don't think that's true of our boy Nehemiah, though. So I'd build a wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time he had not set up the doors upon the gates. Okay, we got to this point anyway, and it's a point. It's worth, you know, we built the walls. We built out to keep things out of our lives, things that ought not be there. That's, I haven't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. We haven't hung the doors yet. You know, who comes in, stays out. But we got to a certain point. There's no breach left. That's an important point to get to in your life. No breach left. Now we can start building some stuff because we're not losing the stuff that we already built. I mean, that's a kind of noteworthy place to get to. Now, what happens when they get to this point, Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Hey, let's get together. You know what we need? We need to establish a dialogue. That's what we need. Come on. No, come on. That's you know, why are you guys taking that big... Why are you going to be so exclusive? Can't we get together? Let's talk about this. Let's dialogue. Let's be, you know, we'll sit down over coffee. We'll have a few. We'll talk. We'll, you know, some give and take, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. Now, when the enemy says that we should do this in the plain of oh no, what is your obvious response? Oh no, that ain't happening. They thought to do me mischief. Now, listen, He's fearless, but he's not stupid, okay? Sometimes the right answer is no. You know why? Because he already said yes to God. God worked on his heart, and God maneuvered behind the scenes on the king's heart. You know, why are you so bummed out, Nehemiah? I mean, listen, isn't it wonderful being my wine taster, my cupbearer? Aren't you having the time of your life? How come you're all sad? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Remember the king? And this is almost like, uh-oh, he sees that I'm sad. I mean, this could go very badly for me. So he pours out his complaint, and he says, you know, how can I be, you know, happy? You know, the walls are broken down of my, you know, my father's, this and that. And so the king's, okay, what do you need? Wow, was God here first? I think he was, you know, softening the king's heart. Well, you know, I'm going to need this. I'm going to need some men. I'm going to need an army. I'm going to need, you know, some people to go with. I'm going to need, by the way, this ain't going to be cheap. You better think about opening up your checkbook, old king. And okay, here you go. When are you going to be back? You know, about 12 years. Okay, here you go. You know, so now, God solicited Nehemiah to do the work. He moved in his heart and he made everything come together. So now he's a man with vision and is uncompromising. He is like, okay, I got this to do and nothing's going to deter me. Once you've figured it out, this is what God has for me. Anything less is, well, less. Do we get that? What's wrong with establishing a dialogue? Well, one, we got nothing to talk about. Two, you're going to want to meet in the center. You're going to want to give and take. I'm not giving. It's the Lord's. I can't give. We're building walls for a reason. You get that, right? Walls. You're on this side, we're on this side. And the reason for that, when you're on this side, that's because you're part of our team. You changed. I'm not watering down the gospel to make it user-friendly so everybody, listen, we've done that for years and years and years, the Christian church. Christians done that for years and years. Try Jesus. Like he's the latest fad or fountain drink or the new flavor on the menu. Try Jesus. No, you're pretty groovy. Let's forget that sinning stuff anyway. That's kind of Old Testament stuff, right? You're pretty groovy as you are. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Now, to your grooviness, to your total cool, you're just so close to being there. Now, to that, add Jesus. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't water it down to accommodate. You know, here's the problem. You can talk about a lot of stuff, and you can believe in transcendental meditation and gay marriage, and you can pray in the streets about anything, and everyone will be pretty okay with whatever you're doing. When you're saying, no, it's this way exclusively, now everyone's mad at the exclusive. Because if you want to be a Buddhist, that's okay. I'm into Islam. This one over here, he's a Hare Krishna. And it's all cool, you know, because it's, you know, basically the same God and everything. But you're saying you got the only truth, and we don't like that. Because basically you're saying that I'm wrong. This is why you won't meet. We can't meet in the middle. Meet and talk about what? You want to help out? It's not your work. It's the work of the Lord. And you're not for the Lord. You're on the opposite team. What do you want to talk about? You want to pat me on the back for my success? But he understands something. This can only go badly. They thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? What's the book of Nehemiah about? What's the book of Nehemiah about? Yeah, the work of the Lord. I think it's a minor. What's the major theme? Well, what's the book of Esther about? What's the book of Psalms about? What's the book of Proverbs about? What's the book of Mark about? What's the book of any? Jesus. Right. Can you see Jesus anywhere in the book of Nehemiah? Well, just as long as we're on the subject, verse 3 looks kind of Jesus-like to me. You know, they said to him, come down off the cross. I mean, if you're the Son of God, you said you were, you know, the Son of God, well, wouldn't you come down off the cross and save yourself? And he said to them, Jesus did, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Well, he didn't say that. It's not recorded anywhere he said that, but in essence, didn't he say that? I'm doing a great work. I'm saving the world. I mean, they said, hey, come down. You know, that was the same thing they're saying in Nehemiah. But when you're called to a purpose, Jesus called to do exactly what he's doing. And I'm saying this is stark and it's very dramatic, Jesus hanging on the cross. Your work isn't that. It's not redeeming the world, but it's still a place in the kingdom doing what God called you to do. It's significantly less. Let's not make our place so important, right? It's significantly less than redeeming the world. We're not Jesus Christ. But we're still, like Jesus, obedient to the Father. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down to you. Why should the work cease? God's called me to something. There's no place for a dialogue. You're only meaning to do me mischief anyway. No, I'm right where I'm supposed to be with the Lord. Why would I take from that? And sigh, you know, Jesus, come down off the cross, then we'll believe. No, they wouldn't. You know that. Just takes the nails off, jumps down. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, if you're really the Messiah, I mean, you know how that is. You know, when you think you've got somebody into a corner, like in a debate or something, they just go crazy on you. They pull out this parachute out of nowhere and jump out of the plane and you don't have them cornered like you thought you had them cornered. They're just, when people don't want to believe, it's not because there's not enough. They believing on Jesus on the cross the same as believing him off the cross. There's nothing would have been compelling where they would have said, I guess you are the Messiah. He rose from the dead. They didn't believe then either, right? You don't want to believe, you don't have to believe. It's always an act of the will. That's why people go to hell. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. People suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Oh, I didn't know. But please, please, stop that. We all know better. No, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down, says Nehemiah. And figuratively, so says the Lord. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after the sort, time and again and again, like a broken record. Oh, here they come again. Here come their messengers again. Oh, my goodness. Is that the way Satan works? Yep. Immediate obedience and then stick to it like a crazy person. And don't start rationalizing. That Philadelphia lawyer in all of us, who's not our friend, will start, why don't I go down and talk to him? What can it hurt? I mean, we'll talk, we'll have a few laughs, we'll end up being friends. No, God's not called me to do that. God's called me to this work. Drawn that line, don't step over it. Don't transgress your conscience. You're going to be needing that later on. You keep stepping over that line, it gets very easy to step over. No, I'm doing what God's called me to do. I don't care how many times you sent after this. They sent me after the sword, and I answer them after the same manner. So they do this, I do this. It's like a little weird little kabuki dance we do all the time. They come out here and they say, hey, you're going to come down? No, I'm doing great work. Why should the work stop? And so they come next time and say, hey, why'd you come down? I'm eating the plains of Ono. Oh, no, I'm doing great work. I can't come down. What part of no don't you understand? But that's how Satan is. And just because he can't tempt you today to fall doesn't mean he's not going to try tomorrow. And he will wear you down. It takes energy for you to say no. It doesn't take energy. He's a spiritual being. He's not getting tired of the process. No, four times. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in the like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Letters are sealed, and the person who can open them up, just like today, you know, you an envelope. I don't know in your house, you know, if mail's a sacred thing, and the person who it's addressed to is the one who opens it. Is and it isn't in our house. Like, I would not even think about opening any of her mail. But my mail, yeah, it's like my whole thinking is like, there's nothing private in my life. Nothing private. If I get a letter, handwritten letter, and it's addressed to me, and let's say the return address has a woman's name on it, you go right ahead and open that and read it to your heart's content. Nothing to hide here, folks. No, nothing at all, okay? So this is like an open letter. It's like I have a bone of contention with an elected official, so I write an op-ed piece. I write a letter to the editor and say, you know, this one shouldn't have supported such and such bill. It's kind of more like that. I want to make my grievance everyone's business. And so Sanballat's saying, okay, you won't come down and talk about it? Well, I'm pulling out the big guns. Let me tell you what's going on here. And so he sends this open letter. He writes this op-ed piece. Or he blogs, okay? Or he Facebooks. Or he, you know what I mean? He's going to take his... Now listen, I think letters to the editor are fine. In America, if you're in public office, you've set yourself up as a target. And whoever doesn't agree with your stance on anything, that's fair game. You don't like it, don't run for office. Now, Christians do that in the body of Christ. Again, we form our firing squads in circles. And they don't have to be much about, you know, this one said this about this, and this one he said and this, and not and shoot me. And I don't think we're really very impressive when we do that, and we're certainly not godly. I want to teach you sometimes, you know, when we come across something let's just say in this case it's our trying to think, pick on somebody. Well, I can't come up with a good. Well, let's say our Assembly of God brothers say this about this verse, but I don't agree with that, and I want to. Can I teach the Bible? But I don't want to say, you know, this heathen down the street who. Generally, it's unsavory. I don't want to. You know, he might be a brother. He might be teaching the best he knows on that verse, and God's his judge. I want to let you know, we're Calvary Chapel, okay? We're not a lot of other things. We're not liberals. Liberal churches teach this. We don't subscribe to this. So I want to say that in a very, in kind of a general, I don't want to teach that, but I don't want to tear down people in ministries generally. You know, Ken, my pastor, he says about a certain teacher, this one's wrong, he said this, I heard it on Larry King, this guy being interviewed by Larry King, and when Larry King asked him, he said, and he tells us, and he gives names and everything. I'm not my pastor's judge, so my pastor's talking with his pastor, Chuck Smith, and he's saying, boy, I'm taking a lot of flack because I'm saying, you know, people's names and that they're not, and I feel like I have to do that because I'm a shepherd, I'm protecting the sheep, and a lot of my sheep, I think that guy's some sort of, you know, the latest revelation, last word from God. And so Chuck Smith is saying to Ken, and I wasn't part of this revelation, this conversation, just what Ken said, you know what I mean? And I heard, he said, well, his pastor says, well, I don't say any names, and I still get grief. So, you know, it's kind of like, it doesn't matter if you do or if you don't, people are going to, you know, be critical anyway. I get it. People are critical of my teaching. That's fine. Again, if you can't stand the heat, right? But I don't mind that. What I do mind is people saying things that are untrue. I didn't say that. As a matter of fact, I don't even think like that. I'm sure I couldn't have said that. And that's kind of like, you know, one of the things I hate. And the things that I say and people repeat them back to me and say, well, you said, okay, fair enough. And if I take heat from it and if I'm wrong, well, that's fine. We can have that conversation, and if I'm wrong, I owe somebody an apology or a clarification, or, and people have said to me before, I've said, well, you said this, and you came across like this, and this, and this, and I had to, like, you know, revisit it, or maybe soften it, or change it, or repent, or one of those things. That's okay. This isn't that. Well, so we're at the East Coast Pastors Conference. There's people in the back row with computers, and they're blogging as the event is happening. And a lot of the stuff, if you read about it on the blogs later on, it's like, wow, where'd that come from? It happens on both coasts. It happens all the time. I think, like, people want to get together and criticize, and what are you doing here? You know what I mean? Isn't that kind of like, I don't know, just like, This is the open letter. It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it. Well, all right, if Gashmu was saying it, I mean, yeah, what is he? Geshem, probably there, right? A form of the name. It's reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. This is his blog, okay? And this is the technology of the day. It's an open letter. You're just building a wall to rebel. That's the cause for which thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. We're saying it right. That's exactly what it is. You're building the wall so you can rebel against the king, who, by the way, helped you out, and so you can be king. You're setting up your own kingdom. That's the problem here. Is it true? No. Things don't have to be true to be printed.
Really?
Yeah, really. Hey, I know it's true. I saw it on TV. Oh, I know it's true. I read it in the newspaper. Oh, please, please. I think I was, my father was in this, it was a political active committee when I was, I don't want to go into any details, nothing like that. early on, I think I was like about 12, 13. I might have been the ripe old age of 14 years old. And so because he was like a spokesman for this group, a reporter from the Boston Globe came to the house and interviewed my dad, and they were asking this and this and this and this. And I read the article later on, and the guy had switched it. He said this, and in quotes, Kasperzak said, yeah, but he didn't say that when for this question. He answered that for this question over here, and you took the answer for here and shuffled it into this question and made him look like a total buffoon and it was horrible. It was horrible. And I was like, and I couldn't believe it. I was young, but I was thinking like, wow, I listened to every word of that. The guy would ask a question, and my dad would just, you know, he'd throw him one of these big old underhand softballs. Dad would just smash it out of the park and think, yeah, he answered that well. He's going to really come across this article. Listen, the Boston Globe, when I was growing up, was every bit the liberal rag it is now. And it just had good sports, though, and still does. But that's beside the point. It was a horrible paper. It wasn't fit to wrap fish in. And I learned that early on. But most of the media is that way. And people read the paper, like, to get information. And I always thought, like, why do you do that? You're not going to get any information there. You're going to get your worldview shaped to a worldview that's really left-leaning. But you're not going to get, like, news. I don't know, maybe you like to do the crossword or something. Maybe buy a paper. I don't know. I think the papers in Bangor... I think the Sentinel here in Waterville, they're the same, virtually the same. They shape news. They might get the box score of the baseball game right if that's important to you, but you can get that online now anyway. So I'm thinking, unless you're trying to wrap fish, then you're getting them. Never mind. Or trying to line the bottom of your bird cage, then it's very good for that. Other than that, I don't see why anyone would. Never mind. Let's keep going. It's reported among the heathen, and Gashmu said that thou and the Jews think to rebel for that which thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be the king according to these words. So that's the skinny, now that we know that's the whole truth. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. This is what we want to talk about in the plain of Ono. Now, if you didn't, you met us down there, everything would have been fine. Sorry, we have to broadcast it like this. You set up your own prophets. Oh, there's a king, and it's time to rebel and throw off the yoke of this. Look at the king, who's his friend, set him up under this situation to go back there and build and financed it. Now, if the king, Artaxerxes, hears that this man has rebelled against him, if it gets back to him and he believes it, it's not going to go well for Nehemiah at all. Oh, this is the thanks I get for helping you out, pal, huh? Oh, you want to be king now? Well, how does, you know, off with his head sound, or throws him some dungeon for a million years or whatever. He's the king. He can do whatever he wants. This is bad stuff. This is how Satan works. Blessed are you when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Please, when you hear something about me, give me the benefit of doubt that it might be false, because that's the way Satan works. And I'll give you the same benefit of the doubt. We'll bother to call. We'll have that conversation. I heard, and you'll just laugh and say, that is absolutely ridiculous. Where did you hear that? And then we'll have a good laugh and we'll still be best buds. That's how it'll work, right? Satan says all manner of evil against us falsely. He accuses you before me. Not Satan, but you know, understand what I mean. You're no good. You're not worth the time of day. Why am I spending time trying to... No, that's how he does. And not just once, time and time again. He comes back four times. And if you don't buy the fourth time, then he makes it public. And, oh, now let's take counsel. Then I sent unto them, saying, there's no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of your own heart. That's true. You're making it all up. Scary stuff. But this man is the heart of a lion. I don't care. You can make all that stuff up if you want. It doesn't bother me. If I die, I die. That's fine. Lie about me if you want. But you should know you're making that up. None of that stuff's true. There's no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Ta-da, victory. Here's the storm. He found the Lord in the storm. Victory. Here's the battle. The battle, it's already won. Find the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Seek the Lord. That is the victory. They're trying to make us afraid. Don't obey your fear. Don't obey your fear. Obey the Lord. Those are mutually exclusive, faith and fear. What's faith? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm going to follow the Lord. Is there fear there? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to obey my fear. I'm just going to do what I feel like the Lord's called me to do. And I tell you what helps. Figure this thing about death out. I'm serious. All they can do is kill you. I say that a lot, don't I? That's the worst they can do. The worst thing that can happen is the best thing that can happen. You say, I'm young. I got kids. I got grandkids. I'd like to stick around for a little while. I want to. Okay, I get that. I get that. Don't worry, though. You'll die on time. You won't be late for your funeral, and you won't get there early. I'm not saying act stupid or crazy. I'm saying have faith. And sometimes that doesn't look too far from crazy. Talk to David. David and Goliath. The Vegas people had, I wonder what the over and under on that was. You know what I mean? David was a long shot. He would have made a lot of money. He's a little bit crazy. And faith looks like that sometimes. No, you're making that stuff up. You're trying to make us afraid. No, Lord, strengthen our hands. We got some work to do. And they're trying to distract us. And they're trying to play all these histrionics, drama, trauma. Oh, you're rebelling. All this stuff. Let's have a meeting. Let's dialogue. God, just help us to focus on the main thing and keep the main thing. I know why you put us here. I know what we're supposed to be doing. Strengthen us, Lord. We got a lot of work left to do. I think, and it sounds like a little, just throws up a Lord strengthen our hands prayer. I think he's a man of prayer all the time, so that when he does these little one-line prayers, he knows that he's making contact because he's in constant communication with the Lord. Afterwards, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. Now, I wish Sanballat and Tobiah would shut up, but this guy shut up, and it means like, it's kind of really, okay, shut up in his house, and it doesn't matter like he's in there hiding or he's shut up like a shut-in, like we would say. Like he's there because he can't get out, like physically can't get out. But I think the tenor of the thing, he's shut in, he's shut up in his house like he's using it like a fortress. Because look at what's going on. He said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. And let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. You're playing with some bad characters, and they're going to kill you to death, Nehemiah. Let's run into the temple and close the doors behind us, and then they won't be able to get us. Sounds pretty reasonable, right? No. You remember when we studied through the Kings, remember Uzziah went into the temple, right? He's a king. And he offered incense. That didn't work out so good. What happened? Remember? He became leprous. The king stood against him. You get out of here. You're not a king. This doesn't pertain to you. And he's just like, I'm king. I'll do what I want to do. And so he's, offering a sacrifice, and he broke out in leprosy. Now, Nehemiah would know that, okay? One. And Nehemiah understands the word of the Lord. And Nehemiah is not one to run from anybody. He sees this as like, no, we don't run. We don't turn our back. We don't, and I said, should such a man as I flee? I'm a leader. Look at it. The eyes of people are on me. And so I'm supposed to show them what fair looks like. I'm supposed to show them, oh, help me, mommy, the mean guys are after me. They're going to come in the night and kill me. He understands his men, women too, but men, understand your height of the skyline profile. The road you walk on is the road your children are going to walk on. I don't know how else to say it. Show them, don't really serve the Lord. Worry, fear. That's what you need. You need plenty of fear in your life. You need to be motivated by fear and do what your fear dictates. I don't know. I wasn't always fearless. I'm not fearless now. I'm a lot more brave than I used to be. When I was a little kid, I was afraid of everything just because I was a dumb little kid, you know. And I heard enough scary things about, you know, the boogeyman and different, you know, stuff. The Boston Strangler, that scared us. That happened, Albert DeSalvo. It was the early 60s. I was just a young 7 or 8 or 9 years old or something like that. You know, scary stuff happens. And Mom used to say, you know, a coward dies a thousand deaths. That was her big saying. You're going through these little deaths all the time. You're dying little by little by just being all afraid. Oh, the boogeyman's after me and this and that. And somewhere along the line, I learned, you know, as a Christian, even a little before that, don't obey your fears. One, most of them aren't made up of anything substantial anyway. Two, so what? When you get the so what part down, I'm just going to follow the Lord wherever it takes me, so what? Then you figure it out. Should such a man as I flee? Guys, I want to show you what a coward looks like and demonstrate that. I want you all to follow me in my cowardice. He knows where he understands where he's, everyone's looking at him for leadership. Oh, our leader's hiding in the temple, you know, cowering, cringing in fear. Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I'm not going. I will not go in. That ain't happening. Shake your head to that silly little idea falls out. So you want us to run for cover? No. And lo, I perceived that the Lord had not sent him. Why? Because the Lord wouldn't use this prophet, I'm using my ditto fingers here, to teach Nehemiah to disobey the Lord by going into the temple. Nehemiah's not a priest. He's a cupbearer. He's not in the priestly line at all. He's not going to the temple. And he knows he's not supposed to go into the temple. And so he doesn't go in the temple. I wish everyone figured this out. These prophets, if they tell you disobey scripture, they're of no profit. So I hear it. Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but, oh, don't even finish that sentence. Nothing good's going to come after that but. But me and my girlfriend, we can live together because we love each other and we're going to get married anyway. And, you know, we talked to this pastor and he told us it was okay. You can find a pastor who'll tell anybody it's okay to do anything if you look long enough. But that's a prophet of no profit. Here, let's go hide in the temple. No, I don't want to demonstrate that. Well, you know we're not supposed to be. And if you just figure out what the word says and stick to the word, you're going to be okay. I know it looks scary. They're going to come in the night to kill me. You know, imagine that night when you're at your house. Every little creak and go, what was that? What was that? You know what I mean? You know. Because things that go bump at night can be a little scary. I had an intruder in my house. I mean, I had an actual, there was a person downstairs, and I knew, and so I got up, and I got the gun, and I wasn't really nervous. I prayed a little prayer, because I thought, I'm going to end up shooting somebody. I really don't want to do that. I didn't want to, you know, to talk to police and fill out reports. I didn't want to kill anybody. In my house, you shouldn't be there. if I could talk you into giving yourself up and there's no violence, maybe this will go well. And it all turned out good. It was only Sue's. But I wasn't scared. I really wasn't. But I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't want to shoot anybody. So I didn't end up shooting anybody because I prayed. But I wasn't real nervous though. I really, really wasn't. But I didn't draw on her, okay? I didn't look at her through a scope or anything, okay? You know, be calm. But I heard, I knew there was somebody in the house. When you do that, bother to look on the other side of bed and see if anyone there. Just a word of warning to the wise, okay? And it was fine. And she's like, what is that guy got his gun coming on his, oh my goodness. And I'm like, oh, sorry, it's just you. I went back to bed, put the gun away, and fell asleep and slept like a Calvinist. I do, you know what I mean? So it was fine. But that wasn't so bad. I mean, but anyway, bother to check. At some point, like, God's given us this wonderful capability to put aside our fear and do what needs to be done as men, because that's, who else? Who better? What am I supposed to do when I hear a noise in the night and I think somebody's downstairs? Honey, I'm scared. Go check that out, please. What? How do I do that? How do I look her in the face in the morning? How do I go on with my life after that? Should such a man as I flee? No, it ain't happening. Should such a man as I go into the temple, disobey God? No. And God will show you, if you want to look, and you know the word, why you shouldn't obey that false prophet. Let's keep moving. I'm falling way behind. Such a man as I flee. I perceive that God had not sent him. Therefore was he hired, verse 13, that I should be afraid. They keep on attacking the fear factor. He's a prophet for profit. He was hired to make me afraid and do so and sin. Is fear sin? It can be if you obey it and disobey God. If you're nervous, like, you really think somebody's downstairs, right, in your house? Is it okay to be a little nervous? Yeah, sure. Yeah, feel free. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, do what's got to be done, but a little trepidation? Yeah, I don't mind that. Don't obey your fear. We do that, and we disobey God sometimes. God's called us to do a thing. Do it. How many times you felt like the Spirit of God telling you to witness to somebody, and you're like, And you punked out because you're afraid. Does that happen to you? It's happened to me. I think that's sin. Here he's saying that's sin. And that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Okay, I'll do this. Ah, what kind of Christian are you? Isn't that just the way Satan operates? Has that happened before in your life? He pushes you, presses you, says, you know, let's do this, this. And all of a sudden, you give in, and the first thing, the trap is sprung, and then like, oh, what kind of Christian does, you know, whatever it is they were just begging for you to do? Nehemiah is smart enough to maybe been there, done that. Maybe he's, like most of us, that was stupid. I don't know if I can do that again. Maybe he's learned, or maybe he just sees that. If I do, you're gonna have reproach against me. You're going to say, oh, look at this. Big leader of the people running like a little girl into the temple. Oh, they're going to kill me. And they would, look at, they already blog. They already have these open letters. What's the next open letter going to look like? No. He was hired that they might get me to sin, that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works, and on the prophetess Noadiah. We haven't heard about her yet. Obviously, she's in this in some regard, right? And the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. No fear. No fear. And when I say that, I'm not saying don't ever be nervous. I'm saying don't obey your fear. Obey God. Satan, one of his big, big ideas, his big plots, he wants to put fear on us. So we disobey God or we're feared into inactivity. So the wall was finished. Why? Well, look at verse 9. Now, therefore, God strengthened my hands. The wall was finished. Imagine my surprise. You know, God, help me to do what you've called me to do. That's a good prayer. God hear that? Oh, yeah. Will what he's called you to do get done? Oh, yeah. Of course. Don't you know that about God? So the wall was finished. We step out in faith, do the thing that God's called us to do, and then we meet with results, right? He's called us to fail, right? No. It doesn't seem reasonable to expect that the wall wouldn't get finished. And now it just sounds like, and the wall got finished. This was sweat. This was, look, we got goldsmiths. We got apothecaries. This is tired muscles. This is blisters. This is in the heat of the day. All that man hours, all that, you know, people busting their fingers and, you know, hitting their thumb and bloody hands and sweat and sore muscles and sprains and strains and all that stuff later. Okay? He's not saying that it's not hard work along the way, but it gets done. And sometimes God wants us to really expend some effort. I think he wants us men, especially, we're not busy, we have some like some nervous energy and nothing good can come of. I think he wants to wear us out in the work. I think he wants us to go to bed tired every night. And from study, from prayer, from whatever it is. Mom's wisdom growing up. And Mom said some good things, you know, that not that they were original with her, but she'd say, like, you know, the idle hands of the devil's playground. I think you want to be tired today. You want to have some, do some stuff. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Wow. And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. I can't even read that without laughing. Hey, how's it? How's the fuzzy end of the lollipop taste, buddy? I mean, I don't want to talk trash, but yeah, I do. I mean, look, you lose. You opposed God. What were you thinking? I wish everybody could see the end from the beginning. Oh, I'm so brave. Yeah, there's no God. There's no, you know, Christians are a bunch of, really? I don't want to say I told you so, and by the time I say it, it's going to be too late to benefit you at all. But don't stand against God. That's not a good place. They're much cast down in their own eyes, and they perceive this work was wrought of our God. When you do a thing for God, even the enemies of God will figure it out that God was... That it doesn't change Sanballat, it doesn't change Tobiah. But God giving them witness that he's there and he exists. You can't... That's my man Nehemiah. You can't mess with him. He's on a mission and he's serving me and he knows what... Isn't this a wonderful testimony? They're cast down in their own eyes. Well, listen. Repent. Join our team. That would be my, you know, counsel to them. I don't think so. There's no evidence that they ever did. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. Wait a second. You guys are on my team, right? Well, yeah, listen, we're just establishing a dialogue. We're just talking back and forth. No harm. So the thing that I wasn't going to do, you guys are doing? Really? Yeah. Just because you're not compromising, don't expect that all your people who shouldn't be compromising as well, that's going to happen. Don't expect that. Christians compromise all the time. The nobles, the ones who should know better. No. We're just establishing a dialogue. We're just, you know. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him because he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, And his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Oh, good. So he's this enemy of God is married into, and he's got all these interwoven, his daughter and their son, and he's the father-in-law of one of their, and so it's now it's a family affair. Oh, nifty. I mean, they get around for, you know, for Thanksgiving or whatever they celebrate. And what's wrong with that Nehemiah? I just wanted to talk to the guy. And he's all, you know, puckered up, and he won't even meet with me and all this stuff. And imagine what's going on. And there's the correspondence back and forth. Enemies outside the church is fine. Enemies inside the church is hard to take. Jesus said, my close friend has raised up his heel against me. It hurt. Well, coming from the Pharisees, they were never on Jesus' team. And the Sadducees, okay, they spit in his face. They slapped him around. He's like, yeah, okay. Judas, my friend, he betrayed me. That hurt. And it does when it's coming from people who it hurts a lot more. I don't know what to say. People who should know better should act better, but they just don't always. Don't let that affect you. Nehemiah is just reporting this, but he's still faithful to God. He's still going to stay the course. I don't care how many punks punk out and fall by the wayside and compromise. That's whatever they do, that's fine. I'm not doing that, he's saying. Also, they reported his good deeds before me. I can't hardly even comment on this. So I'm gonna throw up in my own mouth. Look, oh, he's really a good guy, Nehemiah. You should get to know him. You know, you just say all these things about him, but you don't know what he's really like. I know what he's really like. He's against the things of God. He's trying to put fear in me. He's hiring false prophets. He's prophesying against me. He's writing things that aren't true about me. Yeah, I know what he's like. Oh, no, you don't got to give him the benefit of the doubt. You got to get to know him. Yeah, Satan, he's a real good guy. He's just a little misunderstood. Yeah, okay. They reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. Oh, thanks. So stuff that's family stuff, you're taking that and you're publishing it to the enemies of God. The stuff that's supposed to be, we're huddling together and we got our plans and we got our prayers and we got our stuff going on, our family stuff, and that suddenly it's the world's business? Yeah, you bet. It's not like the things that we're doing are like secretive. Everything's broad daylight, but some stuff isn't for, you know, I talk to a believer and I talk to an unbeliever differently. Don't you? I talk to a brother or a sister who I love dearly. I counsel them different than I counsel people at work. Don't you? Oh no, no secrets here. We just go and blab it to the enemies of God. You might want to reconsider that. You might want to rethink that strategy. They reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobias sent letters to put me in fear. Fear, fear. How many times do you read that in this chapter? This chapter is about fear. Listen, just one lesson tonight. Don't obey your fear. Obey God. Nervous? Are you shaking in your boots? Okay. Still obey God. I want to fear him so much I don't fear anything else. I don't want to have fear of man issues because I'm so worried about offending you. I'm never going to say anything substantial that you need to know in your life because I'm so afraid of you getting up, marching out of here and taking your rather ample tithe with you or me offending you so later on you come and you say, well, I thought that was rather... You can't fear people. You'll never serve God. You'll never. Because people and God are very often on opposite sides of the fence. And if you want to please God, you can't please men. You can't be a friend of the world and friend with God. Those things are opposites. Choose. You're going to serve God. You're going to ruffle some feathers. You're going to step on some toes, and all I can say about that is move your toes. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to be none of those things, but I'm going to serve the Lord, and if people get, you know, go sideways about it, well, go sideways then, and I'm still going to serve the Lord. And that's what I recommend. I think we know, we read a chapter like this, he does it so right, and God gives us a perfect schematic, a perfect illustration of what right looks like. They come again time and time and time, and it doesn't wear him out. They're trying to put the fear in him, and he just turns to the Lord and says, they're trying to weaken my hands, Lord, strengthen my hands. Is the work done? The wall's finished. 52 days. How you like me now, Sam Ballot? Hey, Tobiah, how's it going there, buddy? No, we're still serving God. Doesn't matter what you say, what you do. And you can have a little sass. Okay, I'll let you have a little sass. You know what I mean? Little trash talk. Never hurt anybody. Oh, man. Okay, we're done here. You know what the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? One Greek grammatician said that's divine trash talk. That's Paul saying to death, to the grave, you have nothing but a punk. You got nothing. That all you got, grave? Death. Hey, death, that all you got? Where's your sting? Where's your victory? And that's trash talk. And so I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. So be a little feisty. You know, put a little calcium in your spine for the glory of God. I'm not saying don't be nervous. I'm saying have faith in God. As we move toward God, as we start seeing him as the magnificent, awesome, incredible God that he is, our perspective, our focus starts to come into, and all the other things, all that lesser, oh, what are you going to write letters about me? That's just like melts away, and that stuff is less important. Focus on God. Be feisty, but focus on God. God's your strength, okay? It's not just new resolve to be tougher. I don't want us to have that. If you come away with that, then I think I really failed tonight. But a manly man looks like something. Looks like obeying God. Looks like not obeying our fears. Let's pray. So you can stand. I can get as far as I want to. I was not terse. I was loquacious. Suze rolls her eyes. She's, I know. But I like to think that we establish something here. Lord, and I pray and I trust that it's your word. And Lord, excuse me if I get very, very excited about it, but this is so important. This is where we live. This is where we're going to live tomorrow and the next day, Lord. Satan's going to try to put fear on us, and adversaries will come against us. And Lord, as you call us to something, to a new work, to be bold and to be brave and to do what you've said, we will run into persecution, and many of us will melt. You know, we understand the parable of the soils that your blessed son told us. When persecution arises, many of us will do a disappearing act. Don't let that be true of any of us here, Lord. Oh, Lord, just fill us up with your spirit in such a way that we want what you want for us and nothing else. And anything less, Lord, is anything is less. We want to be the people you've called us to be. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Lord, strengthen our hands. Even as Nehemiah said, Lord, strengthen my hand. Do that. Do that for us, Lord. We want to obey you. Help us to be those men and women of God. To your honor and glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.